topic, and I just pray that you continue to give him boldness and clarity as he shares your word this morning, and I pray that we would have willing ears to listen and willing hearts to listen as well, and I pray for our time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks, Pastor Ben. It is a heavy topic that we are looking at. I'm actually grateful that we're doing it during Christmas time, because Christmas is joyous and it hopefully will balance things out a little bit. But what Ben just read here is one of the passages that we began with 2 weeks ago. And it also leads us this morning to the second part of the avenue of apostasy. We looked at the first part last week, and I would just encourage you, if you haven't heard the past 2 weeks' messages, go through, because it all fits as a unit. We're going to look at the next three cautions on the avenue of apostasy this morning. Again, not every person will encounter every caution that we are looking at this morning, nor that we looked at last week. And not every person will encounter them in the order that we are giving them. But they are all indeed cautions that you and I need to watch out for on the avenue of apostasy. I recently saw a post on a social media platform. It was by my daughter-in-law, who has departed from the faith. And she's been very outspoken about it and a very, very public about it. And that's really why I feel like I have the freedom to talk about what we're talking about, especially in light of my son and daughter-in-law. But, you know, at one time, she seemed to love the Lord. I was convinced of it. She believed in Christ with all of her heart. She was thankful for his loving sacrifice for her soul. She worshiped him. She served him. And because she obtained life through his mercy, in turn sought to live her life by his power. But on this post, she had taken a framed passage of Scripture. It was Galatians 5:22 and 23, which says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." But she took this passage of Scripture concerning the very power of God in the life of a believer, laid it on the ground, and painted ugly black paint all over the top of it. It was very theatrical, very staged, as the photo made sure that even though it was covered in black paint, you could see the Scripture underneath. And it was not only the mocking of the Word of God, but a form of spitting in the face of Jesus, who lovingly bought her with his own blood. It basically communicated that she didn't believe that these qualities of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control are worthy qualities, and certainly not from God. It was a display of an evil heart of unbelief. Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Jeremiah 49:16 says, "Your fierceness has deceived you, the pride of your heart." Deuteronomy 11:16 says, "Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived and you turn aside to serve other gods and worship them." Galatians 6:7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." Thus far on this avenue of apostasy, we have seen the points of deceit, desire, and deconstruction. There are many warnings in Scripture about the danger of departing. In fact, 2 Timothy 3:13 says, "But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, he's telling the church there, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." And back to the verse that Pastor Ben read in Hebrews, it says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." You see, apostasy in the Bible means the departure from the truth of God's word through the deceitfulness of sin. And there are examples of this road all through Scripture. Thankfully, many in Scripture who began to travel that road were stopped by the truth and turned around. I immediately think of the prodigal son. And that's my hope. My hope is that in looking at this avenue of apostasy, that if we find ourselves on it, that we turn around. So we've seen the caution of deception. We noted last week that the worst thing about deception is the one being deceived doesn't know he's being deceived. We looked at the caution of desire. Desire is basically us wanting whatever it is the devil's offering. That's why it works so well. We want what he's offering. And then we looked at deconstruction. Deconstruction is the undoing or dismantling of God's word and the embracing of lies and speculation in its stead. And of course, that can lead to another caution. And that's where we're going to pick things up today. Here is the fourth caution on this avenue of apostasy. It's disbelief. Disbelief. Disbelief is the denial that what God says is true. Disbelief is the denial that what God says is true. I had a conversation with a young man who had just been duped by the devil to attempt to deconstruct some of the truths of God's word so it would fit what he wants it to believe. He had dismantled a particular teaching in God's word and believed a speculation instead. He said, "I believe that God's word is inaccurate in this area." Okay? "I believe it's inaccurate on this particular subject." And he told me what it was. But then he said, "But I still believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he died for my sins, and that I have the promise of heaven because of him." And as he stated that, I asked him, "Why do you believe that? Why do you believe that faith in Jesus' death promises you heaven. And he said, well, because it does. And I said, but how do you know that it does? And he said, because God said so. And I could see the look on his face as all of a sudden he was piecing together the fallacies that were rattling around in his mind. He believed God's word concerning what he wanted it to believe when it spoke truth, and he believed it was what he wanted, but where it didn't, he didn't. He was piecing together. He believed God's word concerning salvation, but disbelieved God's word on this other teaching. And I asked him kind of what we talked about last week. Who are you? Who are you that you get to decide what parts of God's word are true and what parts aren't? Who made you the authority? This really is, it is an all or nothing scenario. One either believes that this is the word of God or they don't. And the sad part about this avenue of apostasy is the instant we disbelieve God in one area, we have now stepped on a road and we are pointed in the direction of being forced to disbelieve everything else. And in time, he did. But Craig, it almost sounds like you led him to that conclusion. Now, he already knew it. He already knew it in his heart. In fact, he stated it to me. All he did, or I should say, all I did was expose the foolishness and stupidity of his thinking. I led him to a choice to either believe God or not. And the worst part is, I'm convinced he knows better. He knows the evidence concerning, the overwhelming evidence concerning the truth. He knows the Word of God has been proven, that it proves itself, and he's choosing to disbelieve it and believe speculations instead. He's choosing to believe things that he can't prove. Disbelief is the denial that what God says is true. Here's another verse for you. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. It says, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Couple things that we can learn from this passage about disbelief on the avenue of apostasy is disbelief, it comes through false teachers. Those that disbelief didn't get the idea from themselves. It was taught to them by someone who is deceived by someone who is deceived by someone who is deceived by someone. And that genealogy of false teachers goes all the way back to the father of lies. All the way back to Adam and Eve being deceived by the devil. In John 8:44, Jesus speaking of false teachers, he says, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Disbelief comes through false teachers that have a genealogy all the way back to the devil himself. And disbelief is because of heresies. Heresies is simply any teaching, really, that opposes the truth of God's word. Disbelief is because of heresies, and disbelief can lead even to denying Christ. Perhaps the worst part of disbelieving something God says, the most grievous part, is it can actually lead to disbelieving more of what God says, even to the degree that one will deny Jesus himself. They will deny and disbelieve in the one who gave his own life for them. Disbelief leads even to denying Christ, and then disbelief blasphemes the truth. They will teach someone else the exact same heresy that they heard. They become part of the devil's evil network. They become, as we saw last week, one of the devil's useful idiots. Disbelief also leads to destruction. Now, this destruction, I do not believe, is about a loss of salvation. Jesus in John 10 said, his sheep are held in his hand and no one can take them out. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, we are kept by the power of God. Ephesians 1 says, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. And if we can lose our salvation, that would mean that God is weak, weaker than us. Romans 8 says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And that, I think that is what makes apostasy so sad. Apostasy is a child of God who has been saved from sin and eternal death by God because they are so loved by him, and then saying to God, this is where the apostasy comes in, saying to God, I don't love you anymore. I don't love you anymore. And it will destroy their life. It may even bring them to a place of physical death, not because God is retaliating, but because life without God is a disaster. We're going to talk about this more next week. In fact, we're going to focus on this destruction aspect next week, okay? But it is basically, they come to a point where they say, God, I don't love you anymore. And God is not going to force himself into their life. And he's going to say, okay, I'm going to let you reap the rewards of the path that you're on. And that reward that is chaos. Chaos in one's life. Disbelief leads to destruction. More on that next week. That is the caution of disbelief. Caution number 5 is departure. It's departure. They leave the faith, so to speak. They fall away from the ways of God and his people. They leave the protection of God and his family, the guidance of God and his family, the love of God and his family. They're willing to give up on the God who gave them everything. They selfishly leave Jesus behind like he's some piece of unwanted trash. Well, I'm leaving the family of God because it was so full of hypocrites. Well, on the bright side, I guess you leaving means there's one less in the church. And you know, even the world condemns that kind of activity in that they condemn the husband who leaves his family, leaves his wife, the mother who abandons his children. But for some reason, the world celebrates the one who falls away from the faith. And that alone, the world smiling upon it, should in itself be a caution. Here's another passage. It's actually where we started this entire series. 1 Timothy 4:1-2 says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the later times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron." They depart from the faith. They abandon it all. They fall away. Now here's something interesting about falling. It's always down. It's always down. According to our passage, it is speaking of people who have truly and sincerely at one time professed faith in Christ. And it's them that are falling down. Real Christians are the ones that it's speaking of here, departing from the family of God, the love there, the protection there, the wisdom there. The faith is a term used specifically of people who are truly part of it. And it is speaking of those who at one time placed the full weight of their faith in Christ alone for salvation from sin, and yet they are so deceived by sin that they live life as if it never happened. And just going back to the first message of this series, I think this is a reason we find it so difficult to comprehend. How does that even happen? Well, this avenue of apostasy is how it happens. But we ask, how does one go from faith in Christ to rejecting Him? Well, we've been looking at the process, and it is, I think it's summarized right here in 1 Timothy 4. They're heeding deceiving spirits. Rather than testing them and knowing them by their fruit, just as Jesus instructed, they're tolerating them, even embracing them. They're opening their hearts and minds to the teachers of lies. Why? Because they're telling them what they want to hear. They're heeding doctrines of demons. These are teachings that come right from the devil. But they heed the teaching anyway, completely neglecting that God tells them directly, if anything is opposed to the truth of my word, it's demonic. And it's designed to ruin your life. Heeding deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons is designed to make you fall down. And it's working. And then they continue. They are speaking lies in hypocrisy. Another person that I know that has fallen away from the faith gave this as one of their reasons. They said they couldn't respect a God that could kill creatures so that His chosen people could live in their homeland. And of course, they're referring to the fact that God in the Old Testament instructed Israel to wipe out the wickedness of the nations from their homeland. So they say the God of the Bible, He's bad. And they promote that idea to others. But then this very same person went and killed an innocent spider in their living room. They destroyed an entire ant colony out in their yard. It seems they're allowed to play God in their domain, but God isn't. It seems hypocritical to me. And you might be saying, oh, Craig, it's a spider and ants as compared to people. Yeah, a harmless spider who will deceive no one as compared to wicked nations that would and did lead Israel astray time and time again and ruined countless lives worldwide because they didn't wipe them out. What's happening in Israel right now is because Israel didn't obey God the first time. That seems harsh, but this is God's domain. This is His. He can do with it what He wants. He knows best. Of course, that's just one example of how they speak lies, the apostate, speak lies and hypocrisy. But the bottom line is, they will promote lies under the guise of protecting people, under the guise of loving people, when in fact those lies will destroy them. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, and they're allowing their conscience to be seared, our passage says. Their discernment concerning what is right and what is wrong becomes calloused. I don't know if you've ever been burned so badly that you lost feeling in the area of the burn, but that is what demonic doctrines and sin produces, leads to concerning our conscience, our ability to discern naturally right from wrong. They become desensitized to the truth and to sin. The Spirit expressly says that in a later time, some will depart from the faith. They will fall away. They will fall down. And Hebrews says, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and falling away from the living God. And the interesting thing about falling, again, is it is always down. Which leads us to our last caution this morning. And that is degeneracy. Degeneracy. Degeneracy is the decay of godly virtues, the polluting of our life. Degeneracy is the decay of godly virtues, the polluting of our life. In a very real sense, it is conformity to the world, just as God says. It might be a worldly philosophy. It might be a world religion. It might be a cult. It might be the occult. It might simply be the broad way of the world. But whatever it is, one thing is for sure. It is in opposition to God and godliness. And it is a very sad thing to watch happen. For a person to go from being thankful to God to being prideful, arrogant, selfish, and self-centered. To go from looking out for the interests of others to it being all about me. To go from desiring purity to desiring sin. To go from pointing people to God to pointing people away from Him. To go from the pursuit of eternity to a pursuit of the temporary. They go from loving God to despising Him. And to see a person who walked with the Lord now walking with the world is heartbreaking. In 1 John, the apostle there says, I have no greater joy than to see my children or hear my children are walking in truth. Well, there is no greater heartbreak than to see our children depart from it. Philippians 3:18-19, our last passage of the morning, says, for many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. These people, they become enemies of the cross. Jesus died to rescue people from those things so that they could have a life abundant and purify themselves as they await the day of eternal life. He gave his life to rescue them from their foolishness, and now here they are returning to it. Proverbs 26:11 says, as a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. James 4:4 says, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. And that is a dangerous place to be. They become enemies of the cross. Their end is destruction. Now, again, we're going to invest next Sunday in this particular caution, and I do not believe that the destruction equals a loss of salvation. I believe it equals a ruined, a completely ruined life, and possibly even physical death. But just know that the person who departs in degeneracy, that's what they're heading to. They're on the road to a ruined life. Their end is destruction. We also learn that their God is their belly. It's a rather poetic way of saying, it is all about me and what I want. It continues and tells us that their glory is their shame. I was speaking to someone not long ago about the times that we are in. And they stated that their sadness and their shock over the fact that shameful things are now glorified. They're even looked at as badges of honor. Sins are seen as qualities. Maybe you've heard the term body count. Now, for those of us who have been around a while, we might use that term for the number of deaths in a disaster. However, today it's used to both men and women concerning how many different people they have slept with. And it's a term of boasting. Homosexual relationships are being called loving and wholesome. Pride is being called a quality. Prostitutes are being called sex workers. Well, it's just my occupation. The term convict is a literal badge of honor on the street. And degeneracy is the believer conforming to that, glorifying in these shameful things, glorying in these shameful things, the very things Christ died to rescue them from. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Their glory is their shame, and they've set their mind on earthly things. Romans 8:5 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 says that the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit of God is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And the cautions, these cautions on the avenue of apostasy are just the opposite of these things. Deception, desire, deconstruction, disbelief, departure, degeneracy. Now, Lord willing, we're gonna look at the destination of the avenue of apostasy, which is destruction. And we're gonna look at a passage of scripture that as I've studied this out over the past couple of years, as I came upon this passage of scripture, the blood drained from my face. I had a cold sweat come over me as I read it and thought of my son and his wife. And I pray that if these things we've looked at thus far have not convinced you to turn around, if you're on that avenue of apostasy, that this last one that we look at next week will. As most of you know, and I've shared it this morning, and this series that I'm doing right now was inspired by my own son who has fallen away. And I've often wondered how I would respond if my son ever actually asked me if I'm disappointed in him and his departure from the faith. And I thought long and hard about what I would say. But I came to this conclusion. I would tell him that absolutely, yes, it is disappointing. But really more than anything else, I am terrified for you. I am terrified about your future on this earth. I am terrified about the future of your family. And next week we'll see why. Father, I do thank you for how plain you make these cautions in the Word of God. I'm thankful for the ample and abundant warnings that you give us as your children concerning these cautions. And it's because we still have a sin nature. We still have those sinful desires. And as a result of that, we can be deceived. We can step onto that road. We can begin to walk down the avenue of apostasy. But I'm thankful, Lord, for these warnings because you give them not just so that we can identify them, but Lord, that we might realize them in our life. Realize how contrary they are to your nature and your word. So contrary to your desires for our life, so contrary to the goodness that you desire to shower upon us, and that in seeing that, we would turn around. I ask it in Jesus' name, amen.